We've all seen the incredible horse and rider combinations as the backbone of our sport. But what about everything else that makes the equestrian world tick? From the everyday grind to the world-class professional, join the Equestrian Podcast as we talk about every equestrian discipline in a way that hasn't been done before. Now here's your host, rider, trainer, and influencer behind My Equestrian Style, Bethany Lee.
Hey friends, and welcome back to the Equestrian Podcast. I'm your host, Bethany Lee, and this is episode 402. Our guest today is an equine scientist and nutritionist with a really profound passion for equine gut health specifically and how it affects the overall horse's well-being. As we know, gut health for both humans and horses is such an important part in overall life and especially with horses, their overall performance. So, our guest today was a lifelong equestrian, and she took her passion to understanding how equine nutrition plays a role in performance. And she built her own brand. She partnered with some of the top supplement companies in the world, like Banana Feeds and their Be Complete product. So without further ado, please welcome our guest today, Alexandra Frazier. Hi, Alexandra.
Hi, Bethany. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Very well. Thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm excited to chat with you. But first, let's rewind. Tell me how you first got introduced or started in the horse world.
Sure. And thanks so much for having me on. I'm really excited to be here and chat to you today. Yeah, I guess my story with horses starts in the way a lot of people's does. It started in my childhood. I come from a long line of horsey people on both sides of my family. And so I was just kind of thrown into riding as a kid. I was pretty young and had lessons and then had horses growing up. So they've always sort of been a part of my life forever. And yeah, it was kind of casual. I competed in things when I was growing up, but it was definitely a childhood love that got the whole thing started off.
I love it. And then how did you first get interested in equine nutrition?
Yeah, so I sort of took a little bit of a winding road when I finished school. And I had gone off to study psychology, and I thought that was the road I was going to go down. But I sort of realized I would rather work with animals than people. So I sort of switched things up and went off and did an equine science degree. I was born and raised in Australia, so I did my degree over there as well. And it was during that course that I sort of picked up a real passion for nutrition and decided that that was kind of probably where I wanted my career to land me at the end of the day. So that's how that all came about.
I love it. Can you share a story that maybe sticks out in your mind about maybe a particularly challenging case that you encountered in your career as an equine nutritionist and, you know, how you were able to resolve it? I'm sure it's a lot of kind of problem solving in your line of work.
Yeah, it's really interesting, especially now. For now, I run a business, I run a company, we sell products, but it is so much problem solving, and it's problem solving to help customers to align the correct product with the correct problem. And maybe less so than a specific problem, but an issue that I've sort of experienced a lot of and come up against a lot through my career is people who are feeding, like the most common sort of supplement or addition to a diet for a horse is a calming product. Lots of stress and anxiety in horses. And people, one of the things I hear all the time is, I've fed every calmer on the market and nothing works. And that's when you know it's time to do a deep dive, because you've got some kind of behavioral issue going on, some kind of, you know, spookiness or reactivity of some kind. And if you've tried every calmer and no calmer is working, your horse doesn't need a calmer. So there's something else going on. And that can take quite a bit of investigating, take a bit of time and a bit of patience. Sometimes it's something to do with an ingredient in the feed. And sometimes it's a problem with teeth or a back issue or a problem with tack, or it could be anything. So sometimes it really is a bit of detective work to get to the bottom of
Wow.
what the source of an actual problem is. And sometimes it turns out to be nothing related to nutrition. So it can definitely be a bit of a process. But yeah, that's one I would say is the most common is, you know, feeding a calmer. It's not working. What do I do now?
Right. And I feel like there's a lot of different information out there about equine nutrition and what's maybe right or wrong. If you had to break down the most fundamental parts of equine nutrition, what would your advice be?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is really that, you know, they're hindgut fermenters. So there's fermentation going on in the hindgut, and it's really, really important to the way that their gastrointestinal system works, but also to the way that their whole body works. And to keep your horse healthy and happy and thriving, they need lots and lots of fiber coming into their system continuously to be able to ferment and process. So making sure that they have access to fiber, whether it's through hay or by giving them access to grazing, pretty much continuously, like ad lib access to forage is the number one key ingredient to making sure that your horse is functioning the way they should and keeping their gastrointestinal system right. So that would be my number one piece of advice.
Mm-hmm. If you had to give someone like an ideal day of eating for a horse, what would it look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, yeah, roughage and sort of fiber all day long if there's, you know, if it can possibly be mustered. And I know it can be really tricky for owners too, because sometimes whatever way the management of their horse is set up, whether it's through if they keep their horse at a barn and they maybe it's not at their property, or they, you know, for whatever they're working and they're not around their horse all day long. It can be really hard to manage these things and have things set up so that they're absolutely perfect and ideal. So we have to have a little bit of adaptability and a little bit of leeway. But as much access to forage and hay and fiber as possible all through the day. And then obviously making sure that they're going to have enough healthy fats to keep their omega fatty acid levels nice and in good balance. So that's usually with the addition of a small amount of fat into the diet through oil, and not too much concentrate. You know, you want to try and keep that at a minimum. But if you're feeding, if you are feeding sort of like a commercial feed on top of the dietary fiber that you're giving your horse, it's ideal to make sure that you're giving it in sort of small regular meals. So it's easy to fall into the habit of one or two really big chunky meals for your horse. And that's not the ideal situation. They have quite small stomachs and they like to sort of slowly digest and ferment. So it's good if it can be split into sort of as many small meals as possible and is realistic, again, for obviously the owner's sort of schedule and life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like a question or maybe misconception that people have a lot is they're like, well, my horse tends to get like he's an easy keeper. He tends to get overweight. I can't just be like feeding him like hay and he can't be like grazing outside all day. But I think that it's more about the quantity and like how it's dispersed, that it's just like little amounts constantly instead of, you know, giant flakes, you know, twice or three times a day.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the sort of the quality of the hay matters too, I suppose. You know, we can obviously feed hay that's really, really rich and high in calories and high in sugar content and is packing a huge nutritional punch. And you can also feed a lower grade hay, which if you do have a horse that's a really good doer, is possibly an ideal situation for them, just to keep them chewing, just to keep them fermenting, but isn't going to necessarily have such an impact in terms of, you know, contributing to weight gain and things like that. So there are always options.
Yeah. What is maybe a misconception or a myth about equine nutrition that like drives you crazy?
Gosh, there are a lot out there. there are a lot out there these days. Yeah, I suppose one of the things that really sort of is more obvious to me now, I suppose, than it ever has been, is that it doesn't really matter, or that the quality of the ingredients don't matter that much. And I think in the human world, we're obviously there's a huge shift towards people being more mindful about what they're eating, what ingredients they're putting into their own bodies, and maybe to what they're feeding to their own families. And then there is a shift now starting to happen where people are thinking about it with animals, but it feels like it's a little bit slower getting to horses than it is maybe to like dogs. So there's definitely a bit of a shift happening there, but not all feed is good feed, and not all nutritional products are good nutritional products, if you know what I mean. And I think there's a little bit of one and one is this, they're all one and the same, is a little bit of a myth that's sort of floating around out there. So yeah.
Definitely. Many horse owners use like concentrates or commercial feeds. What should owners maybe consider when choosing the right feed for their horses? And are there, I'm sure there are specific red flags that we should be watching out for.
Yeah, it's wild because the feed industry is really, really big now. And as I was sort of mentioning there with your last question, like there's a huge variety and scope of products, what's available on the market, and the range of quality is massive as well. And I think some of the things to watch out for are basically ingredients. Just as, I was saying there, people are starting to get more conscious about what they're eating, what they're putting in their bodies. People are reading ingredients more now, being more mindful of that kind of thing. And it's really important to think about that with your horse's feeds too. Some of the big things, and this is perhaps particularly important in the US, because there's quite a bit of genetically modified soy products there. Soy and soy byproducts are a huge, huge part of equine feeds nowadays. And they can be very, very reactive to them and quite sensitive to soy and soy byproducts. And people don't realize this. And so that links back to the answer to, I think, to my the very first or second question you asked me, which is, what are those problems that you see occurring all the time that can be hard to fix? And that's one of the things we really look for when, you hear of a horse that has reactive behavior, it does have like sort of behavioral challenges, and the problem's not being resolved with a calmer. And it's like, well, what's in the feed? What are you giving? And usually, if there's feed being given that is high in soy or has quite a few soy byproducts in it, we find that eliminating that can make a really big difference. So that's a really big one. Then back sort of 2013, there was some research came out that demonstrated that horses can be quite sensitive to gluten. And of course, wheat feed is used a lot, in particular in commercial feeds. It's very, very cheap. It's a byproduct of the milling process. So it's kind of what's left on the floor at the end of the milling process. And the same for oats, oat feed, and wheat feed. So they make really good bulk for commercial feeds and sort of those commercial sort of cubes you find. But they can also be a source of a lot of reactivity and sort of spookiness and crazy behavior, if you will. So there are definitely a few things to to watch out for in that sense, but I think reading the ingredients is probably the main one. And the other ingredient that comes up quite a bit is corn oil, which is very, very high in omega-6 fatty acids, and they have an inflammatory effect on the body. So really good to avoid, in particular, corn oil, and sort of opt for better balanced oils like flaxseed oil, or even, I mean, you could just use generic vegetable oil, I suppose, but flaxseed's probably sort of the gold standard, if you will.
In addition to checking nutritional labels, there are a lot of considerations about the horse itself. So, like, aside from the nutritional elements of diet, what are other factors that we need to consider about the horse and the environment?
Yeah, sure. The big one I would say is their workload. So how much feed does your horse really need and how much work are they really in? We have sort of, I think, a tendency as horse owners to probably overestimate how hard our horses are really working. And so it's quite common to see people feeding if you're following the feeding guidelines for a particular feed, and there's a recommendation for a horse that's of a certain weight and in a certain amount of work to sort of feed on the basis that your horse is in a medium level of work when really they're in a light level of work. So it's quite important to make sure that you're sort of assessing that properly because you're going to be giving far too much energy, obviously, to the horse. If they're in much less work than you're sort of basing things on. And the other thing is obviously you need to consider their weight. It's important to make sure that they're not underweight, obviously, but we don't want horses to be overweight either. That's not good for them in any sense, for their joints or their general well-being. So making sure that that's sort of considered quite well. And it's very easy to check your horse's weight too and make sure that you are feeding the correct amount of feed and hay based on what their body weight is, using, just a regular weigh tape, or if you have access to actual scales, and that's even better. But yeah, knowing their weight and their workload is probably the most important thing.
I have to tell you about this newer supplement that is seemingly sweeping the world for equine and also for dog health, but it is the supplement called Be Complete from the Banana Feeds Company. One of the, I think the coolest thing to this is that it is literally made of one ingredient, and that is green bananas. It most specifically promotes gut health. That is the biggest part, but it also has so many antioxidant benefits. It improves temperament, it improves coat health and shine, and it promotes overall health, and it really does improve performance because when a horse feels healthy, especially in its gut, it's going to perform at its highest potential. So for more information, you can see a whole list of benefits of Be Complete on their website, which is bananafeeds.com.nz. Again, that is Be Complete over at bananafeeds.com.nz. All right, let's get back to the episode.
I feel like something that's also a big part of the conversation is obviously the use of supplements in a horse's diet. So, what are your thoughts on supplements and maybe a few of your favorites from a nutritionist perspective?
Sure. So, it's a little bit of a cheat here because I run a supplement company in
Yes, the
the
yes. I would venture to say it's one of your favorites.
UK. So, yes. So we, yeah, obviously, I've formulated a range of supplements myself. So, yeah, I'm a big believer in supplements, and they have a place, but there's no point in a supplement if the foundation isn't right, sort of core part of the diet. So that's a thing I think is really, really important to keep in mind. And if you don't need to feed a supplement, then I would be the first one to tell you to not to. If you can get things to a place where you can give your horse everything they need nutritionally and deal with any issues that they have nutritionally without the need of a supplement, then that's brilliant. That's the ideal situation. But they also really have their place and they can be very, very effective. So, I definitely am a fan. And I guess in terms of just like speaking generically about things that I guess I would recommend and think are really, really valuable as supplements are I mean, flaxseed oil is a really good one and a big one. It provides, nice, cool energy, and it's really nicely balanced with omega fatty acids, and it's a really nice healthy oil. So it makes a great addition to the diet. And one of the other things I find myself recommending to people a lot is chia seeds, which are very, very easy to get from a supermarket or on Amazon or anywhere. And adding them into the horse's diet, again, they're a great source of omega fatty acids, and they can help to support really healthy hoof development, and can sort of have all kinds of benefits, see skin and coat benefits as well with chia seeds and things. And then one of my all-time favorites, partly because it's such a, it seems so random, people never expect it, is Bee Complete, because I'm just such a big fan of it.
Yeah.
And utilizing the benefits of that, because it is just has such an impact on the well-being of a horse across the board, and not just horses, people too, right? And dogs. And it's so versatile. So anything that's really versatile, packs a big nutritional punch, and has multiple benefits in one thing, I think is always a really big win.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that maybe a lot of people maybe don't correlate bananas, green bananas specifically, with horses. And that is what is found in Banana Feeds Bee Complete supplement. So, tell me a little bit about why a supplement like this, though, maybe unexpected by someone who doesn't know much about it, is really helpful to horses.
Yeah, sure. It's really quite an amazing thing, because I had never really thought about or contemplated bananas for horses. And what's so critical to the product is that it's actually not manufactured from regular yellow bananas that you would buy in the supermarket. They are sort of pre-ripe green bananas, and their nutritional profile, and in particular their sugar and starch content, is very, very different to a regular yellow banana. So this is absolutely not the same thing as going to the supermarket and buying a bunch of bananas and giving them to your horse, which would not be a necessarily great thing to do, just because of the sugar and starch contents in a sort of ripe yellow banana. So it's really, really interesting. I had never thought about green bananas until I came across Bee Complete and the guys there who started it up. And then they've got, they've sort of got the research to show the impact that it has, but it all makes a lot of sense when you look at research across the board, and research to do with other sort of resistant starches. And that's basically the sort of core brilliance, I suppose, if you will, of the dried green bananas, is that they're very high in starch, but they're high in resistant starch, not non-resistant starch. So it's not broken down and absorbed into the body in the same way as non-resistant, which sort of processes out and just becomes a sugary delight. And that resistant starch actually goes into the gastrointestinal system and serves as a prebiotic, if you will, and helps to support healthy gut function, helps with the healing of and treatment of ulcers almost as well as a veterinary prescribed medication, which is incredible because you have no side effects at all. And generally keeps the gut and the microbiome in really good condition. And as a result, it helps, when you've got the gut in good balance. There's a thing in equine nutrition, and well, actually in all nutrition of mammals, called the gut-brain axis. And it's basically a bi-directional pathway between the gut and the brain. So this is a really important factor, that if the gut is in good condition, then the nervous system will also be in good condition. And sorting out gut disturbances and gut issues like ulcers, or maybe fecal water syndrome or things like that, can really have an impact on those spooky reactive behaviors and those stress responses that come up so regularly for horse owners. So it's a really, really comprehensive thing, and it has really wide-reaching benefits. And most importantly, it helps to populate the microbiome and support the microbiome, which is the sort of, colony of microbes in the gut that keep everything ticking and functioning and are a huge part of overall health. And it just makes the bananas such an incredible, versatile, and widely impacting supplement with one thing. And it's quite amazing. And what a gift from nature.
Given all the research and innovation that's really happening in the industry, what are your thoughts on the future of equine nutrition and where the industry is headed?
Yeah, I think I sort of touched on this a little bit earlier. There's a real drive, I think, towards better ingredients, good ingredients, making sure that people understand where the things that they're feeding their horses are sourced from.
Right.
And also a real shift we're seeing, a huge shift in demand for products that are natural, that are not highly processed, that are not generated in a lab, and that don't sort of come in a big tub full of white powder, because really it's not very appetizing, I suppose. But also it's a bit, yeah, it's unnatural, right? Not really aligned with how a horse would eat normally and naturally, I suppose. So there's definitely a drive towards natural, less processed, higher quality ingredients that are, sort of well sourced. And I think that that's going to continue. I expect that that's going to sort of ramp up. And the other thing is that I think is really starting to get bedded in, and I did mention this earlier as well, is sort of looking at the microbiome. And I think it's going to, animal nutrition always sort of follows behind human nutrition. And we're sort of really starting to see a huge boom now in personalized diets and personalized eating programs, personalized supplement programs that are based on your own personal microbiome and your own personal sort of baseline results, if you will, of what's going on in your body and in your system. And I think that that is the way that things will go for horses too. We see a lot of interest in the microbiome. A lot of our customers are really, really interested in learning about it, supporting it, and they want to make sure that their horses are they want to understand more about it, I suppose. So I think that sort of shift towards individualized dietary care and looking after the microbiome is probably the biggest thing that's coming up ahead. For equine nutrition.
Right. What would you say is something that you are passionate about in the industry that you feel people either don't talk a lot about or don't know enough about?
Yeah, I think the, oh gosh, there's a few things I have there. I mean, the microbiome is a really big one.
Yeah.
For me, I'm very, very interested in it. I spend a lot of time reading and researching, looking at data on that and ways it can be enhanced and looked after, and I think that's something I'm really big on, because you can make a huge, huge difference with very little change and adjustment and not very much cost, actually, and really, really improve the health and well-being of a horse pretty radically with that sort of consideration in mind. And I think it's starting to come now, starting to have a little bit of interest, but how important it is and how much of a difference it can make, I don't think that's really understood very well yet. And it's really interesting. I remember when I was in university, I sort of one of my professors had mentioned that from when research is published in the equine space, it generally takes 7 years for it to be sort of taken up of the
No
common
way.
knowledge, yeah, common knowledge and the sort of
Wow.
mainstream. So as things are coming up, like it takes a long time, and it's like the general understanding and knowledge among sort of lay people, it's a long way behind the research. So it is, it's a little bit slow. It's a little bit, these things take time to be picked up on and for people to get a good understanding of and to also trust and kind of learn enough about to sort of believe it, if you know what I mean. But yeah, it does come eventually. It's just a slow march. And I think this is maybe a little bit frustrating from the perspective of somebody who's got their nose in the research pretty regularly. But yeah, there is that sort of hope that it is coming, And I think that
Definitely.
it, yeah, that the sort of gut health and the microbiome is definitely a big, big passion of mine. So I'm
Yeah.
hoping it's coming.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Alexandra, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on and sharing all of your knowledge about just equine nutrition, and especially when it comes to gut health. And I think what you guys are doing with Be Complete is so needed in the horse world, and just, such a great way to make it as simple as possible, especially being like one ingredient. I think that's so just like easily digestible, pun intended. And but yeah, I think that that's so amazing, and definitely something that more and more people have been talking about. So thank you for everything you're doing, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Bethany. Thanks for having me on to chat about it. And yeah, appreciate the time you've given.
All right, that is all I have for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please take a minute and write a review on iTunes. I would so appreciate it. It helps people like you find the podcast, and it helps me get some killer guests. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you next week.